thankful again for the hiding place that we have in the cleft of the rock.
Amen.
And He is our hiding place. When things are tough and hard, we can just run to Him and He'll shelter us. And it makes mention in the Old Testament about even a shadow. One of the prophets said underneath a shadow of a rock. And so even that shadow of the Lord is a hiding place.
Amen.
And so I'm thankful for that. I'd ask you to open your Bibles to two places, Exodus chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now we have a busy day and a busy service, and I'm going to try to keep my part short. But I saw a conversation between Ricky and Michelle on Facebook this week, and sort of poking fun at that whenever I say I don't have much, that you better look out. And she said, I feel sorry for the song leaders. He'll tell them to get a song. And then, you know, half an hour later, they're still there. And so I promise you, I'm going to try to keep my part short. There is a lot of reading, more than I usually do. But I want to try to preach a message. And I don't normally title mine. I usually leave that to the professionals. But the last Passover and the Lord's Supper. And that's what I'm going to try to preach this morning. The last Passover and the Lord's Supper. And I do desire your prayers. We'll start in Exodus chapter number 12. Very familiar. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take up the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses wherein you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. Skip down to the 21st verse. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when you be coming to the land which the Lord will give you according as he hath promised that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses and the people bowed the head and worshiped. And I'll stop there, but it does go on to talk about how a great cry was indeed made, and then in the morning there was not a house in Egypt where there was not one dead of the Egyptians. But turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner, He also took the cup, and when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. And there's one more place you don't have to turn. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. And it says, Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. I know that's a lot of reading. And I do desire your prayers. But I've thought about the Lord's Supper as we're going to partake of it here in a little while. And you know me, I like history. And the reason why I read to you the Passover, we don't observe the Passover. And there's been let me get this straight. I love the Hebrews. I love the Jewish people. They gave us their Bible. And they gave, you know, But there's been a thing that's taken place in recent years where Christians try to observe that Passover. That's not our Passover. Amen. And so that's not for us to observe. But I think to understand the Lord's Supper, you really have to go back in history to the Passover. I think to get an understanding of what we're about to do, you have to go back to the Passover. And it's my belief that the Passover was a thing to be kept, as I read throughout old generations. He said, to you and your sons, that's an ordinance forever. But if you trace that Hebrew word back forever, it meant until the time that the Messiah should come. It meant they was to do this, and it was in remembrance. And you know the story of Moses and how he led the Hebrew children out of the land of Egypt. But even though you know that, and even though they knew that, for they lived it, he set up a Passover for them to understand that the way of life, you get weak and get so cold and indifferent that oftentimes we seem to gloss over or forget. Moses and the Lord, they wanted to make sure that this night of the Lord's Passover was to be kept, that they could remember what God had indeed done for them, that it would be passed down to their children. And we know that the promise that God made Abraham, that his children would be in bondage for 430 years. And so they were in the land of Egypt. And about half of that time, about 215 years, they were in true bondage. They were enslaved unto Pharaoh and enslaved unto the Egyptian people. And they began to cry out for some kind of deliverance. And you know this story, I realize that. But it's good to remember. And they begin to cry out for a deliverer. And God raised up unto them a man by the name of Moses to deliver them. And he called Moses at about 80 years old. And he said, Moses, I have heard the cry of my people that are in Egypt. And that right there ought to be enough to just make you thank God that He hears their cry. And he said, I know their bondage and their taskmasters. And he said, I know their sufferings and all that's going on. And he said, I'm going to raise you up, and you're going to lead my people out of this place, just as I said unto Abraham. And it's time for you to get them and go into the land of milk and honey and enter in
to that land of promise. But he said, Pharaoh is not going to let you go easy. He's going to harden his heart. And in other words, it's not going to be an easy thing. But you just stay with me. And he said, I've got a plan. And he told Moses from the very beginning, if you go back and read, that it was going to take the death of a firstborn. He told Moses that in the beginning. And sure enough, I won't get into the plagues, but time after time, Pharaoh hardened his heart. So we get down to this time and in this place, and Moses gathered the people together, and he said, tonight is the night of our deliverance. And he gave them, while the land lay in darkness in Egypt for 3 days, during that 3 days, Moses had instructed them to take a lamb and set it aside. It had to be a male of the first year without blemish. It had to be set aside from the 10th day of the month into the 14th day of the month. It had to be proven and tested and tried that it was indeed a good lamb, a lamb worthy to give unto the Lord as a sacrifice. And he said, it's tonight that I'm going to pass through the land of Egypt. And he said, every man shall go in, every lamb for an house. And he said, every head of the household is going to take a lamb and is going to just slit its throat or kill that lamb. And he said, but you can't break any of his bones. You're going to drain his blood into a basin and take a bunch of hyssop and strike the doorpost of your house and the lintel. And he said, don't strike. He didn't say don't strike, but he gave no instruction to strike the footboard or the threshold of the house. The blood is not to be trampled on. It's not ever to be trampled on. So they didn't put it on the ground, but they struck it there with that hyssop on the sides of the doorpost. And God said, I'm going to pass through Egypt. And when I see the blood, I'm going to pass over you. It was the death of the firstborn. He said, Moses, there's going to be a cry like you've never heard in all the land. He said, but you're going to be safe. And on the inside, protected by the blood, that when the wrath of God invades the land of Egypt, the blood is what's going to keep you safe. You can't be safe except you're inside with the blood as a barrier against the wrath of an almighty God. And he said, you're going to take that little lamb. He said, you're going to roast it with fire. You've got to eat it. The lamb was not just to be looked upon. It was to be fed upon. You need to understand that. He said, you're going to eat it. He said, you can't add anything to it. The lamb in itself and the blood, you can't add anything to it. But just take the lamb and the blood, and there's nothing else that's needed. And he said, you roast it with fire. In other words, that little lamb is going to have to suffer. It's going to go through the fire. It's going to go through the wrath of God. And he said, you take unleavened bread with bitter herbs, that you might remember how the bread was unleavened, because he said, you're not going to have time to leaven it with dough, because you're going to go out of here and you're going to go out in haste. He said, the great cry is going to come. He said, take the bitter herbs, and it's going to, those bitter herbs are going to remind you of how you've been treated here. How the bondage of Egypt and all of its taskmasters, how the bitterness has been upon you. But he said, tonight is the night I'm going to deliver you. The night has finally came. You see, after hundreds of years, men and women gathering their children together, speaking about a deliverance that was going to come, the time was now here. And so they were on the inside. They had killed their lamb. They had gathered together in their homes, just waiting. They had their shoes on their feet and their staff in their hand. And they were eating that lamb that night. And it was the Lord's Passover. And so about midnight, the Bible says he did go through the land. And the Bible said there was such a great cry. I can't imagine the cry that must have went out of Egypt. I can't imagine the cry. It said, from the son of Pharaoh that sits upon the throne, as to the son of the lowest maiden, and even the firstborn among all cattle, every last one of those firstborn, they died because they were on the outside. I don't know about you. I'm glad I'm on the inside today. I'm glad there's a blood barrier between me, for there's coming a day that's going to happen to everybody in this house. It's going to happen to the whole world. That destroyer is going to come, and he's going to pass through one more time. He's going to pass through. I got news for you today. He's still searching for the blood. It's still the only thing that'll keep you safe today from the wrath of God. The only thing that'll keep you out of hell is still the blood of a lamb. I thought about when the Lord Jesus Christ came, He typified all of this. He's the anti-type. This was the type. It was to be observed until the time how the true Lamb of God should come. It was to be observed until that time, handed down from generation to generation, that when the children would gather together in Canaan land and say, "Why are we eating unleavened bread 7 days? Why are we eating these bitter herbs?" He said, "Moses, that you might tell them, instruct the fathers to tell them that we're remembering the night that God delivered us." He said, "It's Moses, it's going to change our calendar." He said, "From this time on, this shall be the beginning of all years and the beginning of all months." It completely changed the calendar. It's the beginning of a new life. And I thought about how when the Lamb of God came, if we're real, when the Lord Jesus Christ came, we're going to celebrate Christmas here in a little while. I realize He wasn't born December 25th, but I don't think there's anything wrong with choosing a day to celebrate the coming and the incarnation. When God became a man, it indeed changed our calendar. We even go by AD now and know the men now. Before then, we know it as before Christ. When the Lamb came, He changed everything. It was a new beginning. It's the beginning of a new life. And now it's the year of our Lord. That's what that AD stands for. He said, "Moses, it's going to be a changing of times. It's going to be the beginning of times. A time of a new life." And I thought about how when the Lord Jesus Christ, some 1,500 years later, when He was about 30 years old, the Bible said John the Baptist was at Jordan baptizing, and John laid his eyes upon Him. And you know what he said? He said, "Behold the Lamb of God that cometh to take away the sin of the world." I don't know about you, I believe John meant the Passover. I believe he meant that Paschal Lamb that had been slain. 1,500 years had went by. All the lambs that had died. All the buckets and the buckets of blood. It would have covered the earth if you'd taken all the blood from every Paschal Lamb for 1,500 years. And John laid his eyes upon that glorified Son of God. And he said, "This is the Lamb that should come. This is He that should come." So we notice here, I want to draw a resemblance. We notice that the Paschal Lamb, it was the last Passover that Jesus had with His disciples. He said, "And it's with great desire," Luke chapter 22, "it's with great desire I've desired to eat this one more time with you before I suffer." He understood, you see, what was going on. He was the Lamb of God that should come. But I thought about the qualifications for that Paschal Lamb, that it had to be a lamb. We've got that established. John has told us, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And we know it had to be a male. He's got that covered. And the Lord Jesus Christ came as a man. We know He's got that covered. We know that He had to be about a year old. In other words, that lamb in the Old Testament had to be fully mature, no longer dependent on his mother. He had to be in the strength of his days. Now I can show you in the Old Testament that the priests and the Levites, the Bible said, from about 30 years of old, of age and upward, shall they do in the service of the house of God. Lo and behold, at the age, according to Luke, of about 30 years old, Jesus Christ came forth to John at Jordan. Don't you see it all coming together? He fit everything so far, but now He had to be without blemish. He had to be set apart. He had to be proven that He was a lamb. I want you to understand that if you take the gospel account, and we know that His whole life, His whole ministry, and His whole life, He was a spotless lamb. And we know that He was tested of Satan and tempted for 40 days. But I want to draw your attention to what we call the Passion Week. I want to draw your attention to what we call Palm Sunday, the Sunday before the crucifixion. It was that day, according to the Scriptures, that Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem riding on a colt, just a foal of a donkey, riding in, and people, we call it Palm Sunday, for they drew palm branches and strolled them in the way and said, "Blessed is He that cometh in the name of the Lord." That was when the Paschal Lamb, that was the day that they had to be set apart. It was a day that they had to take the lamb and set it apart and hold it till the 14th day. So Palm Sunday, the Lord Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem. I believe that was His setting apart. I believe that was the time, why do you say that, preacher? Because you read the accounts in the Gospels from that time until 4 days later, everything came at Him. They came at Him from every religious cult and sect. They came at Him during those 4 days. He rode into Jerusalem. He went into the temple. He drove out the money changers. And then the Pharisees sent people unto Him. They sent scribes and chief priests unto Him and tried to trick Him in His words. He turned there. They asked Him, was John the Baptist, was it of God or of man? What authority do you have, brother? And Jesus said, what authority did John have? And so He sent them away. He was being tested. It was that 4 day period that Lamb had to make sure that He was spotless and clean and worthy. So He sent the chief priests away and the scribes away. Then the Herodians came to Him and said, should we render tribute to Caesar? Once again trying to trick Him. He said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. And He sent them away. Now the next day maybe the Sadducees came and they don't believe in a resurrection. But they said, a mother, a man, and his wife according to the law of Moses. And I'll not get into that. But they begin to ask Him, whose wife would she be in the resurrection if 7 brothers had her to wife? And they all died. Again, trying to entrap Him. And He said, they neither marry or are given in marriage. He said, you do err because you don't know the Scriptures. And He sent them away. Then the Pharisees came. And they tried to entrap Him one more time. It was the setting apart of the Lamb of God. It was those 4 days that they had to make sure that He was worthy enough to be the Lamb. And so everybody that came at Him, He turned them away. And the Pharisees finally said, we don't know He's got wisdom that we know not of. And it said from that time forward, nobody dared ask Him any questions at all. So, He had been set apart. We've got that taken care of. He had to be without blemish. I want to call your attention to what Pontius Pilate said in all the Gospels and several of the accounts. He said, I want it on record that I find this man innocent. Even the executioner that delivered Him to be crucified said He's spotless in my eyes. Now you got... Yeah, I'm telling you, He's working His way. Is He the Lamb of God? Is He the one that had been promised in prophecy the last Passover? So there He was. He had to be roasted with fire. And He had to go through the fire of God. He had to go through the wrath of God. And not a bone could be broken. When they crucified Him, the Bible says that they crucified Him between two thieves. Let me take you back to that Lamb in Moses' day. Do you know how they roasted that lamb? Do you know how they didn't break a bone? They had to roast it whole. In other words, they didn't cut it. They roasted it whole. History tells us that they had 2 wooden beams. And they put one this way and one that way. And they literally hanged that lamb as it hung there and roasted. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did at Calvary. He is the Paschal Lamb, the Passover Lamb, and that literally hung there. But they said in Moses' day, you have to eat of it. I'm afraid today, lots of people want the cross. Lots of people want the crown, but not the cross. You gotta eat all of Him. He said you can't sodden it with water. You can't water it down. You can't add any of your doctrine to it. You just have to take the Lamb and His blood. Is that enough for you today? It's enough for me. For it's the blood of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And that's why we're redeemed and how we're redeemed. By the faith in the blood. But they literally hanged that Paschal Lamb and it roasted in the fire. And then the heads of the household carefully took it, not to break any bone, and they ate. He's meant to be feasted on today. Not just to look at Him, you have to take all of Him. He said the whole lamb. In other words, you have to take all of His God part and all of His man part. You have to take the whole counsel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He fits that bill as the Lamb of God. Hanging there, but I thought about as he said there that he had to die. But I thought about probably the greatest thing, or to me, it was that 4th day. There are some discrepancies, not in the gospel, but among doctrines of men. Some say the Lord was crucified on a Friday. Some say a Thursday. I don't know. I tend to think probably on a Thursday because that was the day the Paschal Lamb. I thought about how that Moses gave the instructions that about 3 p.m. in the afternoon, that's when the evening started, that's when the Lamb was slain. And Moses said they had to slay it early enough. You see, the Hebrews' day didn't start in the morning. It went from sunset to sunset. Not sunrise to sunset, but their day started with the sunset. So they had to prepare that lamb and slay it about 3 p.m. in order to have it ready to eat. It would be the beginning of their day, but it would be nighttime to us. But they had to be ready about midnight. But they had to have time to roast it in the fire. So the Bible says in the evening, Moses said, you slay this lamb. And that started about 3 o'clock. I want to point you to the gospel accounts that at the same time, on the same day, when lambs were being slain in the temple for the Passover by the Lamb of God, about 3 o'clock, according to the gospel, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. He died at the same time. They were slaying all of those lambs for the Passover. I want you to understand that. So when he said to his disciples, this was the last Passover that was supposed to be. The Paschal Lamb had come at the same time when those lambs were being slain and their blood was being spilled. The blood of the Son of God upon the cross of Calvary was spilled out over the ground. And by faith we take that hyssop and apply it in our heart. I'm telling you, He is the Lamb of God. The more I think about what John said, just one little statement, behold the Lamb of God. No wonder he leaped when he was a babe inside his mother's belly when the Lord Jesus inside of his mother's belly. John knew who he was. He was the Lamb. And so Moses said, for a remembrance, you must do this year by year, just to remember. The Lord Jesus Christ instituted at that last Passover, He instituted His supper. It's not my supper, not your supper. Bear with me, my voice is getting weak. I want you to understand what we're about to do should be one of the most holy and sacred things that we'll ever do. I'm glad that we're doing it. Why? Because He said, remember me. That's what He told His disciples. He said, do this. Luke, I think, is the only one other than Paul in Corinthians. Paul received his revelation directly from Christ. He said, I received it from Christ. Luke gives that account that Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Why did He say that? Surely we couldn't forget Him. I'd say 2,000 years that went by. And to be honest, even among God's people, the death of the Son of God doesn't stir our hearts near the way it ought to. But He knew that. He was God. He knew that the further removed you are from something, the less likely you are to really remember what it is. I want you to understand that this isn't for everybody. What do you mean by that, preacher? That Paschal Lamb was for the Hebrew. It was for the circumcised. It wasn't for anybody or any stranger. Not everybody can take of that. Not everybody can take of this. How can you remember one if you don't know Him? You have to be born again. You have to be baptized into a body. You have to be a member of this church or a sister church like ours. No charges against you, not excluded. In other words, it's a holy thing. This is His body. He told His disciples, they didn't understand it. But He said, according to John, He sent Judas out. He said, go out. Whatever you're doing, do quickly. Judas went out. He took those disciples. He began to tell them, this is it. He took them to the garden after He instituted His supper. But He said, take. This is my body. In other words, He had to have a body. The only way that mankind could be redeemed is if a man redeemed us. He had to have a body. God prepared him a body. He was born of a virgin. He said, this is my body. And he broke that bread. And he said, this is my body that's been broken for you. And we ought to think about, Paul said in Corinthians, I didn't read it, and I'm getting done, but Paul said that many people have gotten sick, and he went on to say many people have died for not taking this as serious as they ought to. In other words, in Paul's day, just a few years after it was instituted, they had made a feast, a drunken festival out of it. And because of that, people died. What you're about to do is sacred, and it's holy. Why is it holy? Because he said we're supposed to remember him. When we take this, we're not to be thinking about what we had for breakfast this morning, what you're going to do tonight, what your work week's going to be like, a ball game next week or next month. The only way to partake of this is during this service. You think about the body that has been broken. You think about how they took his body, just like that little lamb. They took his body and they beat him and they beat him some more. And they pulverized him, and they beat him some more, and they beat him again, until they hang him upon a tree. That's his body. The whole time we take this, that's to be on our hearts. Why? Because he knew that if we didn't do it, he didn't say how often. He just said as often as you do it, you better do it in remembrance of me. In other words, we're doing it for him. It's a memorial. It's a remembrance. It's a sad state that a Christian is in. I can say that because I've been there. It's a sad state that he knew we would be in when we begin to not think about the body and the blood. When we begin to think about our salvation in terms of only what it's done for us and not the cost that it was to the Lamb of God. He said, you knew this. It was the only time he ever told them, remember me. Just remember me. He was telling them that night. Paul said the very night. John said it too. The very night that he instituted his supper, they took him in the garden. He found his disciples asleep. And he said, you couldn't even stay awake for me 1 hour. I've thought about that a lot the last few weeks. He didn't ask for much. He just wanted an hour or so. And he said, you couldn't even do that. He said, I know your spirit's willing, but your flesh is so weak. Just an hour. It was the only time he told them specifically that I can think of, remember me. I'm going to be taken from you tonight. And the shepherd is going to be sitting. The sheep are going to be scattered. And he said, don't forget what all I've done. Remember me. When you break the bread, remember me. That it was God came in the flesh and gave his body to be broken. And he said, then take the cup. And the Bible said he gave thanks. He gave thanks for his own blood that he was going to shed. And he said, he was telling them the Passover, that was the Mosaic covenant. Moses took the blood and he sprinkled it upon the law and upon the books. It was a covenant of works. He said, that's the old covenant. That's the Old Testament. He said to cut the blood. He said, take this, it is the blood of a new covenant and a new testament in my blood. It's the covenant that God made with man. That by the shedding blood of the Lamb of God, mankind could escape the wrath that shall come on planet Earth, just as they did in Egypt 1500 years before. That blood of the Paschal Lamb kept them safe on the inside. He said, the blood that I shed, take this cup and think about the blood that was spilled as they gathered round the cross while those lambs were being slain by the hundreds in the temple. The true Lamb, Paschal Lamb of God, gave up the ghost and he died. And he said, but it's a new covenant and it's a new testament. Hebrews gets into detail. In order for a testament to have any power at all, there must of necessity be a death of the testator. He had to die. You think about it. A last will and testament in a law office. If I have a last will and testament, that thing is void if I'm alive. The only way that you give that power is for the testator to die. And when he died, he gave the power to his blood in the new covenant. That it's no longer a covenant of that paschal lamb. It's a covenant, it's a New Testament. It's a covenant that God made with man through the blood of his Son. When we take this, that ought to be all that's on your mind. It ought to break your hearts just to remember him. Preacher, I thank him every day. I know that we do. How often do we really remember? I mean, think about it. We didn't see what those disciples saw. They even forsook him and fled. But we know that Peter came and he stood outside and he watched. We know that John came as his Lord was dying on the cross. That John came back. The only disciple I believe that came back that we know others may have. John was the one that we know dead at the foot of his cross. John, when all of this is over, when I'm dead and buried and rose again and ascended back, you remember what you saw today. We ought to remember. We ought to remember the Lamb that had been slain, that Paschal Lamb of God. It was the last Passover that night and the beginning of the Lord's Supper. That's what we're going to partake of here. I can't get this across to you like it was given to me. But I want you to think about it. He met every criteria. Even the executioner said he's an innocent man. Innocent, without spot, without blemish. On the same day at the same time, those lambs died. He said, it's finished. It's over now. The New Testament in my blood. Remember his body. We're going to do things a little different. Is there a word with you in any way before we call the deacons up? Bless your heart. Appreciate that. He's not just any lamb. He's my lamb. He's your lamb if you've been saved. He's God's lamb that has been slain. The Bible said his life was taken off from the earth and he was cut out of the land of the living. And he did that so people like me could escape his wrath. I'm glad I'm on the inside. That when he comes back, he said, you do this until I come. You know what that said? He said, I'm coming back. That's what he meant. He said, as long as time stands, I'll have a faithful people that'll do this and remember me. 2,000 years, let's remember him today like we never have before. And I want him to be as real to us today as he was to them then, the Lamb of God. And so we're going to call the deacons up. And again, this is for baptized believers, members of this church or a sister church in good standing without exclusion or no charges. As the deacons come up, if you are a visitor and you wish to leave, you may do so. I just ask that you do it quietly. Otherwise, you're welcome to remain in your seats and we'll call the deacons up at this time. God bless you.